Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, as we've been hearing, the truce between Israel and Hamas has stretched into a fifth day at this stage after both sides agreed to extend the ceasefire for a further 2 days. The actions of both Hamas and Israel have attracted widespread international condemnation, but questions remain as to what sanctions, if any, will happen when the current war is over. Will there be prosecutions for war crimes, crimes against humanity, or possible genocide? Well, earlier I spoke with Francesca Albanese, the UN Special Rapporteur for the Occupied Palestinian Territories. I first asked her what her reaction was to what was happening in Gaza since October the 7th.
What Israel has done in Gaza following the very ferocious attacks that Hamas unleashed against its citizens, which clearly amount to crimes, is it's outside what is permitted by international law. Israel, first of all, Israel has invoked the right of self-defense under Article 51 of the UN Charter. Abusing, in fact, of the right of self-defense. Israel has the right to protect itself, its territory and its citizens, but it doesn't have the right to wage a war against the population it maintains under belligerent occupation. Because the right of self-defense under Article 51 of the UN Charter is the right to wage a war. But also, even if there was that right of self-defense, there are basic principles of distinction, proportionality, and precaution that have to be taken when launching a military attack. So protecting civilian objects, which is not what has happened. So it is my assessment, also shared by others, that war crimes have been committed in Gaza, possibly also crimes against humanity, because intentional starvation and intentional extermination, for example, when Israel has bombed a refugee camp inhabited by 400 people to kill one person, I mean, this might amount to a crime against humanity.
What Israel says is that they are very targeted strikes. They say they are in self-defense because they are targeting a Hamas militant or leader at the end of each and every one of those strikes.
15,000 people have been killed. Is that where these 15,000 people target? Otherwise, it's clear that Israel is not respecting the principle of distinction between civilians and combatants, and it's clear that it's not taking the right precautions to protect civilians.
Can I put to you this? When you say that Israel isn't taking enough precautions to protect civilians, they say, before striking in the north, for example, that they gave an order to civilians to evacuate and move south, and they say that is taking precautions.
Look, first of all, they ordered the evacuation of 1.1 million people. So where were these people supposed to go? Because the south was also being bombed, and the Gaza Strip is quite a small piece of land, so which has been heavily bombed from north to south, east to west, incessantly for 42 days. The bombing was wild and massive, because an average of 6,000 bombs have been launched on the Gaza Strip.
Do you think then it was genocide, as some people have said?
Together with other special rapporteurs, I've raised the risk and grave risk of genocide at least three times. Because on the one hand, there have been many declarations and many statements by Israeli political and military leaders that they were after the flattening of Gaza. They were not after accuracy, they were after destruction, that there were no civilians but terrorists in Gaza. So the language was clearly genocidal. If there is a risk that atrocity crimes are being committed, there is an obligation of member states to intervene and act to prevent. So we don't need to wait until a court concludes that there was genocide, because if there is a risk, there is an obligation to intervene and stop.
So who should intervene and how?
Member states, by putting pressure on Israel to stop its military action in the Gaza Strip, because it's clearly in violation of all possible provisions of international humanitarian law, which I said.
When you say that member states should intervene, How will that happen procedurally? Should it happen at a General Assembly of the United Nations? Is there not a risk that the Security Council could veto that?
No, the Security Council might veto it, but I think it's time for the General Assembly to explore its power under the United for Peace. These are resolutions. This is a resolution 377 that the United Nations that gives the General Assembly powers to intervene when the Security Council is paralyzed, and the General Assembly can do so in the interest of maintaining peace and stability. Mm-hmm. And this is what is needed now. The point is that the major powers, major Western powers, do not show any interest on any or any eagerness to stop to halt the military operations in the Gaza Strip.
How do you say, firstly, that they don't show any interest to stop? Because the Secretary of State has been to Israel and tried to intervene and ask for a proportionate response. That's from the US. The senior officials and politicians from the European Union have done likewise. Why do you say there's no appetite to intervene?
Because toward the last days of the military operation, there was increasing pressure for a humanitarian pause, for a humanitarian ceasefire. But no one has really called for an end of the hostilities, for a cessation of the hostilities. And this is because the majority of Western countries deem that it's Israel's right to pursue what is called self-defense.
I know, Francesca, that the US and the European Union has prescribed Hamas as a terrorist organization. Does the UN do likewise?
No, the United Nations does not call Hamas a terrorist organization. But I think this is not relevant, because there is a clear appreciation from all sides that what Hamas has done is criminal and should be accounted for. But there is also a clear appreciation within the UN that at the Secretary General level, at the General Assembly level, that the whole population in Gaza cannot be held accountable for what Hamas has done.
That is absolutely correct in terms of the innocent people in the Gaza Strip. But when you say that it's not a relevant question as to whether the UN prescribes Hamas as a terrorist organization or not, when you say that's not relevant, surely it is relevant. Do you think October the 7th was a terrorist act then?
No, I say that it's not relevant because there is no international framework to define what is terrorism. There are 22 definitions of what is terrorism, and not one single convention that make the prohibition.
Okay,
international law.
Okay, so can I ask you this?
About.
Using your understanding, your vast experience of what terrorism is from your perspective, was October the 7th a terrorist act?
Yes, frankly, it was terrorism because killing civilians, spreading terror among civilians, yes, it's a terrorist act.
Okay.
But does it change the gravity of it? I don't think so.
Okay.
And does it justify what Israel has done? I don't think so.
Maybe it's relevant in the sense of what happens after this conflict is brought to a close, hopefully soon, and who governs Gaza. Do you think it's possible that Hamas could have a role in governing Gaza?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have the crystal ball, and this is beyond my competence, frankly. I can only say what international law prescribes to do, which is the end of the occupation, because it's clear that the population in the occupied Palestinian territory shouldn't continue to be under Israeli military rule. This is what is to happen, and they need to enjoy the right to self-determination.
Can I ask you finally then, you have been severely critical of your own organisation, the United Nations, through all of this. Why?
I don't think I've been severely critical. Why do you say so? I've criticised the impact at the security level. I've criticised the fact that the United Nations operating on the ground, particularly UNRWA, was not protected enough. I've criticised the fact that humanitarian aid was not secured as it should have.
I think you said the UN is experiencing its most epic political and humanitarian failure since its creation. Did you say that?
Yeah, I did. But it is, again, more than criticism, this is a sad observation.
Okay.
And it's true. I mean, it's been completely paralyzed.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens in that space. But there's a long road, it seems, to get to that point at the moment. Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur for Occupied Palestinian Territories. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on Drive Time.
Thank you, Cormac.